And welcome into a Monday edition of the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Available 24/7 wherever you get your podcast. Just search for the Nick Craig Show, tap the subscribe or follow button, and you'll get a new program delivered each and every weekday morning. Well, good Monday morning to you. A busy week kicking off here across the state of North Carolina and the United States. I want to thank the Law Group for their support this morning. You can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Some more details on them coming up a little bit later on in the program. We do start with breaking news this morning as it relates to former President Joe Biden. You likely saw this news come down yesterday. It was hard to escape. Former President Joe Biden has been diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate cancer, according to a spokesperson in an announcement yesterday afternoon. The diagnosis was revealed after doctors found a small nodule on Biden's prostate that necessitated further evaluation during a physical exam earlier this month. The statement reads as follows. Last week, President Joe Biden was seen for a new finding of prostate nodules after experiencing increased urinary symptoms. On Friday, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, characterized by a Gleason score of 9, grade group 5, with metastasization to the bone. The statement goes on to say, while this represents a more aggressive form of the disease, the cancer appears to be hormone sensitive, which would allow for effective management. The president and his family are reviewing treatment options with his physician. This has, of course, sparked a lot of reaction in political circles and worlds this morning. President Donald Trump posting on Truth Social yesterday saying, quote, Melania and I are saddened to hear about Joe Biden's recent medical diagnosis. We extend our warmest and best wishes to Jill and the family, and we wish Joe a fast and successful recovery. That being the reaction heading in or yesterday afternoon from President Donald Trump, as this news, of course, cascaded very quickly throughout the political world. And of course, the question with this is, with an aggressive form of prostate cancer, when was this known? And there are many individuals, many medical professionals that are casting serious doubts as to when this information came to light. And some folks are probably asking themselves this morning, you know, why is this relevant? You've got a guy in his, early 80s that is suffering from prostate cancer. Leave him alone. And that's a fair opinion to have. That's a fair statement to make. However, I think it is very relevant to discuss what was the medical condition of the president of the United States, who, by the way, up until July of last year, was running for re-election. Up until the disastrous debate performance that he had with President Donald Trump was all up for a presidential rematch election in November of 2024. And that is where the controversy, that is where the question is this morning. When did doctors that are entrusted with the president of the United States health, when did they become aware of prostate cancer? Many, many medical experts are pointing to the fact that this is not something that just pops up out of the blue. This is something, especially with the aggressive nature and the metastasization to the bone, something that had to have happened earlier than just May of this year. I'll remind you, Dr. Kevin O'Connell deemed Joe Biden fit to serve in February of 2024 after the then presumptive Democrat nominee underwent a routine medical exam at Walter Reed Military Medical Center. So just about a year ago, that was the case. Last July, after Biden dropped out of the race, O'Connell told many news organizations at the time that the former president's health was, quote, excellent. Biden had cancerous skin lesions removed from his chest after a physical in February of 2023, which turned out to be just a very mild form, nothing too crazy to think about there. However, O'Connell said at the time, quote, all cancerous tissue was successfully removed and no further treatment was required. News of his prostate cancer diagnosis comes amid a firestorm of allegations that that the Biden administration and members of his inner circle knowingly hid physical and cognitive declines from the American public. And that's why this is news. That's why this is something relative to talk about. And of course, Democrats are piling on and saying anybody that discusses this, anybody that's talking about Joe Biden's medical situation this morning is a scumbag, and you're piling on to Joe Biden. What the hell is wrong with you? There is a clear track record and a clear history of Joe Biden's closest advisors, his wife, his very senior officials, knowingly and willingly covering up Joe Biden's health, whether you're talking about his cognitive health or his physical health. And so I do not believe that it is a far stretch to believe that there was strong indications there was a problem well before we became available, the information became available to us yesterday. Now, there is another story that we'll be getting into later on this morning, about a 4-minute audio recording from Axios that describes and shows Joe Biden's cognitive ability as he was talking with Robert Herr. We'll have some of those details coming up a little bit later on this morning. You know, Jake Tapper's got this new book that I think comes out this week called Original Sin. That's the name of Jake Tapper's book. In Jake Tapper's book, he goes through some very, very concerning details from within the Joe Biden White House, including discussions as to whether Joe Biden would need to be using a wheelchair during his second term. This would be if he was successful in running against and beating Donald Trump in November of last year. That's in a book from Jake Tapper. Yes, the CNN Jake Tapper. The guy and the network that spent years on end calling Republicans who very really questioned Joe Biden's mental acuity after watching it unfold in front of their very eyes, conspiracy theorists, called them products of Russian disinformation, deep fakes, so on and so forth. If you were anybody that watched the debate in July and then after the fact, we're scratching your head and saying, maybe there's some problems here with the president of the United States, you were called a conspiracy theorist. You were peddling in disinformation about the health of the president of the United States. Now, that's, of course, what was said at the time. Now that Joe Biden is no longer the president of the United States, he did then go on to drop out of that race, handed over to his vice president and Kamala Harris. Now, all of a sudden, this information is coming to light. Now, all of a sudden, we've got all of these experts and all of these people within Joe Biden's inner circle that are speaking to Jake Tapper and Axios reporter Alex Thompson, who co-wrote this Original Sin book, about the true state of Joe Biden when he was in the White House. And so why is it unfair to look at this story? Why is it unfair to look at this situation and not ask those same questions? There was a clear, coordinated effort, not only from the Biden White House, but from members of the mainstream media to use their authority and use their position to cover and carry water for the president of the United States. That is, nobody can at this point argue and debate that fact because it's all come out. It's all now out in the public. I mean, we played some clips last week of Joe, or 2 weeks ago, of Jill and Joe Biden on The View talking about this, them knowing what kind of political disaster was created after that July debate. We've heard from countless individuals that were within the Biden White House talking about struggles as it dealt with his physical and mental health. All of this stuff is coming to light now that he's gone. And it's important to understand this, because if he didn't have the disastrous debate that he did in July and did not drop out of the race, there was a real possibility that Joe Biden was reelected to a second term. There was a real possibility that as you and I chat this morning, Joe Biden is sitting in the Oval Office. Joe Biden is continuing a second term as the president of the United States. I think it's incredibly relevant to discuss these details. Now, back to what was said by President Donald Trump. I don't think anybody is wishing ill will on Joe Biden's health. Nobody is hoping and praying that he continues with this cancer. That's not the point of this discussion at all. The point of the discussion is what kind of information was available and hidden from the American public. That's the discussion. That's the real question this morning. When did all of this come to light? And when did people within the administration, Joe, Jill, people very close to them, when did they find out that some of these things existed? His mental acuity, now this discussion of what appears to be what is being described as a very aggressive form of cancer. When was this information available? And I'm sorry if you feel the need to call me a conspiracy theorist, I'm incredibly skeptical that this just came to light last week. I don't buy it. I don't buy it for one second. Joe Biden has some of the best medical care and attention of any person alive. As the president of the United States, he has access to some of the most advanced medical care that exists. And for something like prostate cancer, which is a very common form of cancer, especially in males as you get up into your 70s and 80s, something like 70 or 80% of males deal with some form of prostate cancer. That's a high number, exactly. I just refuse to suspend belief in reality and believe that nobody had any idea before May of this year that this was an issue. That aggressive form of cancer that is being described by the president's spokespeople over the former president's spokespeople over the weekend, nobody knew about it before 2 weeks ago. I have to question that. And again, why do I have to question that? Why are folks bringing this to light this morning? Because there's a track record. There is a clear track record of this previous administration hiding and concealing information from the American public. So I do not believe it is too much of a stretch. I do not believe it is completely unfathomable to believe that this information was in fact hidden away from the American public. I think that is a fair and real thing to bring forward this morning. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. That's not off limits. Yes, cancer is an awful, terrible disease. I don't wish it upon anybody. Hoping that with having access to some of the best medical care and treatment in the world that Joe Biden is able to recover from this. But it doesn't negate the fact that there are serious questions as to when did individuals know about this. Ronny Jackson, who is a member of Congress, a former White House physician and retired member of the United States Navy, posted this on his X account yesterday saying, "Sad and unfortunate, and I wish the former president the best in his treatment for cancer. Care at the White House should be second to none. Unbelievable that this was missed. But the truth is, his physician was more concerned about assisting with his political cover-up than providing world-class medical care." This is coming from a guy who is a member of Congress, a former White House physician, and a retired member of the U.S. Navy. And so when posts like that are coming out, somebody that absolutely knows how the process works, somebody that absolutely knows what kind of care is available within the White House, knows what kind of care is available to people when they are the sitting president and then the former president, that should be concerning to you. Now, of course, Democrats are not a fan of this. Democrats are not a fan of individuals calling question to this, but I'll argue it's their own damn fault. If they had been more transparent, if they had been more public with some of the issues within this administration, I would suspect that the discussion this morning that is, was there a cover-up here, would not be happening. I think people, for the most part, genuinely are pretty trusting of authority. And if throughout the 4 years of Joe Biden, if the administration was a little bit more public when issues happened, when Joe Biden would be speaking and forget what he was talking about, when he would seemingly just in the middle of a sentence just stop talking, would just stop discussing what was just blank out in the middle of a discussion. And then you would, of course, seem that, or you would then be told that that wasn't what you actually saw. That Joe Biden was sick, that Joe Biden was this, that Joe Biden was that. None of this would be happening. But because they decided to hide this, because they decided that their political ambitions, and I believe this is the case, that the Biden's political ambitions were more important than being truthful to the American public, I hate to say this, but they have brought this amount of distrust on themselves. You know, you hear me say this all the time about actions have consequences. This is the result. Because of their inability to be truthful and transparent with the American people, many folks this morning are looking at this news out last night and saying, is this another cover-up? Is this another example of information being hidden from the American public on the heels of a presidential election where Joe Biden is attempting to run again and become the commander-in-chief for another 4 years? That's the question that's being asked, and I think it's a legitimate one. Some comments also coming in from Representative Greg Murphy. He represents us here in North Carolina. He is a doctor and had this to say in a series of posts on X yesterday. Despite being a member of Congress, I still continue, as I have for over 30 years, to take care of patients with prostate cancer. Medical treatment for this disease has come a long way during my career. My prayers are with him and his family. Prostate cancer is diagnosed by a blood test called prostate-specific antigen, or PSA, as well as rectal examination. Makes me wonder why someone running for the President of the United States, especially someone who is elderly, did not have these examinations. Screening is critical. A man with below normal PSA can still have prostate cancer. This is why a rectal examination by your physician must also be done. Unfortunately, some doctors are foregoing critical examinations and relying only on the blood test. Make sure your doctor does both. And so when you look at this series of comments coming in from Congressman Greg Murphy, it seems almost unimaginable that somebody at Joe Biden's age, even with the PSA test, which is, as he describes it, a blood test that can lead you on to some precursors that, hey, there could be a problem here. It seems almost unimaginable that somebody at Joe Biden's age would not go through a more thorough examination. That's the words from Congressman Greg Murphy, who is a doctor who continues to this day to treat patients with things like prostate exam. Prostate cancer. So the question is, if the PSA test, let's say there was no cover up here, let's just assume he had this blood test, the PSA levels were normal or below normal, no sign of any concern there. Why was a more thorough examination not done based on his age? As you heard me mention earlier, as you get into your late 70s and early 80s as a man, From what I had the opportunity to read over the weekend, something like 80% of males deal with some form of prostate cancer, which is why not only is there this PSA screening that takes place, but there's also this thorough exam of the prostate itself to determine whether there's cancer. 80% of men over the age of 80. I can't imagine that the physicians for President Joe Biden thought, well, you know, Joe Biden's 82, 83 years old. There's no reason to do a more thorough examination on him. There's no reason that we would do this at all. It just seems completely absurd. But this is what we're supposed to believe. This is the information that we are getting told this morning. We've got some text messages coming in on our text line at 910-377-6425. That's where you can text in live and after the fact if you've got some comments you want to bring in on the air. Unfortunately, don't have this individual's name. If you would include in your first text your name and where you're texting from, love to credit to you. It says, prostate cancer is initially diagnosed with a simple PSA test. What was his number? Transparency. He had the test, and I'm sure he had a biopsy. I'm 71 years old, and my doctor checks mine every 6 months, and I'm not president. And that's exactly the question. And in terms of the PSA numbers from the coverage that I was able to really dive into last night, and we'll probably learn a little bit more over the next couple of days, his PSA numbers were not part of the medical exam that was made public in February of last year. Now, I can understand not releasing every single pertinent, every single piece of information about Joe Biden's health to the public. I understand there's some level of privacy there. He is the president, but, you know, the guy's entitled to having some level of confidentiality as it results to his health. I understand that. But I would be very curious, as we sit here now, what were those PSA numbers? They have not been made available. They were not made available back in February. And if I had to guess, betting dollars to donuts this morning, we'll probably never know. Now, it may be leaked, but I don't think that we will hear from the former president's office. I don't think we'll ever hear from Dr. Kevin O'Connell, who was the doctor that examined President Joe Biden just over a year ago in February. I don't think that information is ever going to be public. And that's concerning. I don't think that information is ever going to be brought to light. And why? Because I suspect there's probably some level of a cover-up here. And why do I suspect that? Nick, why are you a conspiracy theorist? Nick, why are you peddling in this sort of potential disinformation? Because the previous administration has set this up. The previous administration has caused me to distrust things that come out of them. The previous administration, due to their inability to be transparent with the American public, unfortunately have caused this. I don't want to be in a position where I have to distrust medical information that's coming out of the White House. I don't want to be in a situation where I have to second guess whether this cancer diagnosis was known earlier than when you and I found out about it. But I have to question that because this previous administration spent years covering for Joe Biden's physical and mental health. They spent years lying to the American public about what we saw with our very own eyes. They made it their prerogative and agenda to do that. And with all of that being the case, I'm allowed to be skeptical. I am allowed to have a serious discussion and question what's going on here? When did we know that this was the case? I don't think that's unrealistic. I don't think that's unfair to President Joe Biden. I don't think that's unfair to anybody. I think that's a very real thing to question. And so if the previous administration is as transparent as we're led to believe, then we should be able to get some of this data. We should be able to find out when and what some of these numbers in as it relates to the PSA test happened. We should be able to learn as the American public, when was some of this information available? That, I think, is a fair question to be asked this morning. On Fox News last night, Dr. Mark Siegel was on talking about some of this as well. Here's a little bit of the back and forth with him yesterday afternoon.
I was going to ask you, this is a former president of the United States. He's supposed to be getting, as you say, the best medical care in the world. And yet, you know, just a few months after he leaves office, this prostate cancer is advanced enough that it has metastasized to the bone. That's just not good.
No, and we don't have enough information for me to be sure of the following statement, but I want everyone to know that the PSA, though, I think it's a really great test, and I do it on every male over the age of 45. Sometimes it can be low, and you still could have this. It's not 100%. I'm not saying his was low. It wasn't written as I don't recall it being indicated there. But if it's high, you go after it. And again, to reach the point of symptoms, we often off most of the time we can diagnose it before. Although, you know, it may very well be that he's hormone responsive, and that's what we're all hoping and praying for here. We're looking to see what the radiation oncologist says. Are they going to give radiation? They've advanced radiation therapy dramatically for prostate cancer. They can target it. They can use seeds. It has less side effects than it used to. And the same thing with robotic prostatectomy is unbelievable now at getting the prostate out. So a lot of times the prostate would be taken out. They would give radiation and then give the hormone therapy. They're not saying that at this point.
It is, as you say, one of the most treatable forms of cancer, but you have to catch it fairly early, right?
Well, you have to catch it fair. If you catch it while it's still within the capsule, within the prostate itself, it's curable most of the time. When it's metastasized, like here to the bone, much less so. And again, this aggressive, very concerning, means that it probably spread pretty fast. Mm. They might try to radiate that lesion they found on the bone. They're definitely going to give hormone therapy here. They'll know more in a few months about how responsive it is. When the goal is to get it before it leaves the prostate. When it's left the prostate, it becomes much more difficult to cure.
So there's Dr. Mark Siegel on Fox News yesterday, again, talking about this process, noting that he, as a doctor, anybody over the age of 45, he gives the PSA test to. And as everything that we've heard this morning and some of the comments flowing in over the last 12 hours or so, that individuals, as they get older, that this is something that they look for. Not only the PSA numbers, but an actual examination of the prostate. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I'm a medical doctor. I am not going to sit here and pretend that I'm an expert in prostate cancer. I'm not. But if I look at all of the information that is being made available, and it's not much, but from the information that's been made available from the previous administration, from the spokespeople for Joe Biden, if I'm looking at the information that is being brought forward by members of Congress who are still practicing physicians, members of Congress that are still dealing with patients throughout their career as doctors, still to this day, it seems almost unimaginable that within the span of less than a year, Joe Biden got prostate cancer. And it was so aggressive that it was not known even 6 or 8 months ago. And again, why is this important to bring up? Because the plan for Democrats, knowing Joe Biden's mental and physical health issues, they still planned on having him run for president in November of last year. Their all intent was Joe Biden's going to run and hopefully beat Donald Trump and serve another 4 years. They knew that these issues exist. Now, the prostate cancer thing, not exactly sure about that. But his other physical and mental issues that you and I all saw, they knew that stuff existed. They just wanted to hide it. They told you that you were full of it, that you were peddling in misinformation if you brought this to life, or brought this to light, I should say, if you wanted to discuss any of this. So they had a full plan of running Joe Biden. Now, after, again, the disastrous debate in July of last year, then they had to recalculate. Then they had to look at their strategy. They had to look at what were they going to put forward for the American people to decide on in November, and they decided that Joe Biden wasn't the guy to do it. So then they subbed in his very unpopular vice president, who then went on to get annihilated in the November election. That's why this is relevant. That's why this is important. Plan A for the Democrats was presumably Joe Biden to win and then hand off the torch to the vice president, because everything that's been made available through the Jake Tapper book and some of the other information that's come out over the last couple of months shows very clearly that Joe Biden would have not served a full second term. It just wouldn't have happened. Democrats knew that. They didn't care. Democrats knew that. They attempted to shield that information from the American public because it was, of course, politically disastrous to them. Because it was a very bad political look for them to sub out the president of the United States just months ahead of a November presidential election. And so they lied. They were not transparent with the American people. That's what's being called out this morning. That is the discussion that is taking place in a vast majority of political circles. Why was this information hidden from the American people who had a very important decision to make November of last year? Continue with somebody like Joe Biden or go towards something different like what was being suggested by President Donald Trump? That's why it's relevant. That's why this discussion is taking place. And it's incredibly, incredibly concerning. Incredibly concerning. So that's the latest news as it relates to this prostate cancer diagnosis coming out of the Biden team yesterday, On Friday, there was a huge amount of news that was circulating as it related to a Joe Biden audio tape. We'll have some details on that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Before that, I want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington and thank them for their continued support of the show. When legal challenges arise, trust the law group in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a situation where you need a strong defense, the law group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, they are located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. That's 910-251-6088 or their website lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication that you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group's continued support of the Nick Craig Show. We'll have this Axios audio tape coming up here after this. You're listening and watching The Nick Craig Show live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live on a Monday morning. Thanks for spending some time with us. I want to remind you that if you are interested in supporting the show financially, you can get access to daily show notes and more by visiting patreon.com/Nick Craig. $5, $10 a month, you get access to those daily show notes plus our monthly hangout that will be taking place next week. We'll be announcing the date on that coming up here in the next day or so. All of that available over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. That's patreon.com/Nick Craig. Appreciate everybody's support over the last couple months here of the Nick Craig Show. On to the other very big news of the weekend as it relates to Joe Biden. Again, setting this standard of information being withheld from the American public. President Joe Biden, at the time, President Joe Biden, did a sit-down interview with Robert Hur as it related to scandals over classified documents. Now, Axios got access to some information of this interview, and it is so brutal that I think you need to hear it in its entirety, because this was the president's mental acuity and mental ability at the time. Here's the audio from Axios. It runs about 4.5 minutes. I'll jump in a couple of times. If you have not heard this, it is incredibly eye-opening, this being released from Axios on Friday.
So during this time, we were living in Chambers Road, and there were documents related to the Penn Biden Center or the Biden Cancer Focus Shot or your book. Where did you keep papers that related to those things that you were actively working on?
Well, I don't know. This is what, 2017, 18 period?
Yes, sir.
Remember, in this time frame, my son has either been deployed or is dying. And so it was, and by the way, there were still a lot of people at the time when I got out of the Senate that were encouraging me to run in this period, except the president. I'm not a mean thing to say. I mean, he just thought that she had a better shot of winning the presidency than I did. And so I hadn't at this point, even though I'm at Penn, I hadn't walked away from the idea that I might run for office again. So if I ran again, I'd be running for president. And so what was happening, though, one month to Bo die, May 30th,
2015
he died.
I'm not sure the months are, but I think that was.
Trump gets elected in November of 2016. All right. So, what about 2017?
That's when you left office, in January of 2017.
Yeah, okay. But that's when Trump gets sworn in.
Right,
January.
Right, correct.
Okay, yeah.
Correct.
And in 2017, Bo had passed, and the genesis of the book and the title Promise Me Dad was I know you're all close with your sons and daughters, but Bo was like my right arm and that was my left. These guys were a year and a day apart and they could finish each other's sentences. And Bo, I used to go home on the train in the period that I was still in the Senate. Anyway, I can't remember. There was pressure, not pressure. Bo knew how much I adored him. And this sounds so, everybody knew how close we were. I mean, there was not anybody in the world who wondered whether or not, anyway. And so.
Sir, I'm wondering if this is a good time to take a break.
Let me just keep going to get it done.
Unimaginable. That was 4.5 minutes of what was a relatively simple question about classified documents being stored next to Joe Biden's Corvette in his home in, I guess, what, Wilmington, Delaware? That's, you know, it described as going through this book. All of this came to light after Democrats attempted to throw President Donald Trump in jail for having classified documents in Mar-a-Lago. It then came to light that Joe Biden was storing classified documents in his garage and boxes next to his cool car that he did in videos. So in this 4.5 minute clip, you have Robert Hur asking Joe Biden about some of these classified documents. Joe Biden cannot remember the year in which his son died. He doesn't remember when he was in the White House. He's like, oh, well, you know, Trump won in what, November of 2017? Joe Biden was in the vice president's office when Trump came in. Barack Obama and Joe Biden left office because Trump won. I mean, obviously Obama ran two successful terms and was termed out, but they left office because a new president was coming in. The election was in November of 2016, and in early January, as it happens, a new president is sworn in. Joe Biden doesn't even remember that. He's talking about classified documents as it relates to he was struggling in 2017 with his son passing away, which I'm sure is obviously true, but it's not like it happened the same day. As he said, his son Bo died in May of 2015. These documents were from a time in which he was in the United States Senate, going back to 2008. These documents existed in Joe Biden's personal, just sitting in his garage. And so why is this relevant? Well, for a couple of reasons. First, We were told, once again, that there was nothing to see there as it related to Joe Biden's mental acuity. You and I were told that if we thought that there was issues with Joe Biden, that if we thought that he had a problem as it relates to his mental acuity, his ability to discuss issues and to put together a coherent sentence, to debate, to deal with international issues, to negotiate with world leaders. If you wanted to discuss that, you were a conspiracy theorist. You were peddling in misinformation. That's what you were at the time. That's what it was. You couldn't have these discussions on national television. I played the clip for you, I think, last week of Laura Trump on CNN with Jake Tapper, of all people, who's now wrote this tell-all book, that he's excoriating Laura Trump for having the audacity to bring up Joe Biden's mental health, to bring up his mental acuity, to bring up his ability to serve as the leader of the free world. She was excoriated for it. Then this scumbag, Jake Tapper, goes on to write a freaking book about how it was all true. Man, these people have no shame. And really, the bigger discussion here is twofold. First, it's transparency out of the administration. That's a huge problem. But secondly, now it really comes back to the media complicity. Now, this is not going to come as a shock to the vast majority of you listening or watching this morning. The mainstream media, the vast majority of it, is absolutely in the pocket of the Democrat Party. They will say and do whatever they want as long as it provides cover, provides shade, and is beneficial to people that they are ideologically aligned with. That has been the case for decades now, but it's more and more obvious as the days continue to go on that that's really the business of current mainstream media. It's not to provide truthful information. It's not to provide transparency. It's not to provide facts. None of that's the case. When you look at what you saw over the last 4 years with your own eyes, what you saw, not what was described, but what you saw with your own eyes, and then to listen to the media saying, that's not true. That is just a manufactured belief that you have. That is disinformation being pushed by foreign entities. Here's a little clip for you. This is 3.5 minutes of the media telling us that Joe Biden was sharp as a tack. And if you thought otherwise, you were full of it. Here's, we'll start off with old Joe Scarborough, MSNBC.
Start your tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden is the best Biden ever.
She knows so long as he was denied.
In fact, I think he's better than he's ever been.
President Biden has a photographic memory. His understanding and mastery of a complicated geopolitical situation, remarkable.
He is sharp, intensely probing, and detail-oriented and focused.
Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going to be here.
I was sitting, you know, 2 feet from him across the table, and he was, you know, intense.
Have trouble walking sometimes? Yeah, so did FDR. He wanted GD war.
But he's totally focused. He's very sharp.
They say he's sharp in meetings and so on.
Very lucid, very well informed. Biden is stately, and he comes with gravitas.
There hasn't been, as far as I know, a single claim that Biden made a mistake.
Ageism is an issue. Americans have a rich history of holding people's physical characteristics against them. Okay, you can ask African Americans.
He's older. That doesn't mean that he is unfit, and there's a lot of ageism there.
Now, this age attack, this obsession by the right.
Joe Biden may not be able to speak for himself the way that he used to.
They want to think to take on government if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, and that's him lying around.
I think people should be speaking up for Joe Biden.
Americans and reporters in the media are just judging him by a physical appearance, and it's horribly unfair. Age
is an asset.
He showed exactly how with it he is.
The flip side of this coin is that he has a tremendous amount of wisdom and experience.
Have you heard any concerns from anyone who has met with President Biden about him seeming a little slower?
No.
More wild speculation from a bunch of people who have probably never been in a room with Joe Biden and certainly don't have medical degrees that I'm aware of.
You don't get paid for performance to be president. You don't. The job is not a job of endurance. I don't see Donald Trump out bike riding like Joe Biden.
It's the Hillary's email. All they have is that he's old.
He can clear a dementia bar, and that's probably a win.
The media are not fair, and they're getting less and less fair, and things are frightening. You have Wall Street Journal running a horribly sourced piece saying that Biden is unfit.
Dubious Wall Street Journal report about the president's acuity.
Shoddy story by the Wall Street Journal questioning Biden's mental fitness.
Wall Street Journal story had a lot of flaws, as you said. But Sinclair, they didn't do any original reporting. They didn't follow up. They didn't do any work.
The hero of the day is Hirsch Goldberg-Poland, and still... He is not here with us, but he's still being held by Hamas.
But a huge part of the Mueller report talks about Russian disinformation tactics. And one of the themes this election cycle is that Joe Biden is too old to lead. And so everyone is seizing upon this. And it is a classic disinformation tactic. And I think the best thing that we can do is to prepare the American people for this false narrative.
Ah, yes. Disinformation tactics. You and I saw it with our own eyes. You and I watched a guy, and I do find it kind of ironic in all those clips. And you have to, you know, you remember at the time what was going on. It was, you're attacking his age. It had nothing to do with Joe Biden's age. Donald Trump is like a year and a half or 2 years younger than Joe Biden. It's not got anything to do with his age. It's got everything to do with, his performance. It's got everything to do with what is he able to project on not only the national stage, but the international stage. Coming up a little bit later on today, Donald Trump is going to be having two different phone calls, one with the Russian president in Vladimir Putin, and the other with the president of Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky. Trump is going to be doing that today. When you look at the last 4 years, was somebody with Joe Biden's mental acuity issues, was he capable of having those phone calls? Was he able to jump on the phone and speak very harshly to Vladimir Putin, which is likely what's going to happen today with Trump, who from all accounts is beyond livid that Putin did not come to the meeting in Turkey that took place last week? I don't think so at all. Not based on what you and I saw, again, publicly. And the irony of all of this is in some of these clips, you've got the infamous Jake Tapper telling you that what you're seeing is not the case. Look over here. Look at this other little shiny object in the corner. Look at that. Let's disregard all this discussion right now. He then goes on to write a book that last I checked was sitting on the top of the Amazon bestseller charts. It's called Original Sin. Let's see where it stands here this morning. It is currently sitting on the Amazon charts as, yes, the number 4 best-selling book on Amazon. It's not even out yet. I think it comes out this week or maybe early next week. Original Sin, President Joe Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again. That's the book. That's Jake Tapper's book. You can see his name right here. Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson, who is a reporter over at Axios. I guess it comes out, looks like it comes out tomorrow. Number four best-selling book right now on Amazon. It's not even out yet. So at the time, you weren't allowed to believe this. At the time, it was a Russian disinformation tactic to bring up the mental acuity of the former president. Now it's a best-selling book. And so all of this to say, why does media continue to struggle? Why is it that outlets like CNN, like MSNBC, and really the overall arching media establishment, why is it that Gallup polling shows that there is very little trust within media? I think it's situations like this. You know, I think there's this idea in political circles that voters and the American public are they're just stupid. They're stupid people. They don't understand anything. They don't know anything. So we need to use our position of power to tell them. They're too stupid to figure this stuff out on themselves. So we at CNN, we at MSNBC, we at the New York Times or the Washington Post, we are going to tell you what's going on because you're not smart enough to figure it out yourself. You're just a dumb, stupid American. And we know what's actually the case. We know what's truth. We know what's fact. So we're gonna tell you. Don't worry about doing any research yourself. We'll let you know what's going on. You can trust us, right? That's what the media does because they inherently believe that the American public is stupid. Doesn't know what's going on. So they're in the position of power. They're in the position of authority to actually tell you what's going on. But so the issue that you've got here is that when these entities, these outlets of power that have this authority, use their position to cover things up, use their position to lie and mislead the American public about what's actually going on, well, the end result is this. Nobody ends up trusting anything that you say. I mean, you can't look at the last couple of years of mainstream media coverage and then find yourself shocked that CNN has no audience left. You can't look at the last couple of years of media coverage and be shocked that nobody trusts what's going on in mainstream media. Here is a poll, and I know I've brought this up before, but I'll show it to you again. This is a poll that Gallup produced in October of last year. And this is American trust in mass media. They started taking the poll in 1972. And as you look at the numbers that were done in October of last year, not that long ago, you find that 36% of American people have no trust at all in mass media. 36%, no trust at all. That's the greatest number in this poll. 33% have not very much trust as it relates to media. That's the second highest number. And at 31%, you find that they have a great deal or a fair amount of trust, the lowest number in this survey. So 31% of the American public has trust in mass media. Trusts newspapers, televisions, and radio broadcasts. Why is that happening? Why is that the case? Because they have been purposefully lying to the American public. They have been using their authority. They have been using their position of power to lie. And lie for the political party that they agree with. To lie for the political party that ideologically believes the same things that they do. It's the reason why NPR didn't cover the Hunter Biden story. Why they called it a fictional report that had no basis. They knew damn well that they couldn't say that, but they did anyway. They knew that there was validity in the New York Times or the New York Post reporting of that, but they didn't care because it was detrimental to Joe Biden. So they said, not only are we not going to cover it, we're going to put out a full-throated rebuttal claiming that it's not the case. How about COVID-19? How about that beauty? Just get a vaccine. It'll stop the disease from spreading, right? Stand 6 feet away from somebody in the grocery store and you can't get sick. There's no possible way that this thing came from the Wuhan virology lab in China, right? Impossible. Misinformation. Now, that can't possibly be the case. If you get your vaccine and get boosted a couple of times, you can't get the illness. You can't get the disease. All of that turned out to be, frankly, complete and total bullshit. But it didn't matter because that's what they ran with. That's what they beat into the heads of the American public. And so what did the end result be? Well, you could get the COVID vaccine. You're still liable to get sick. It didn't stop you from getting sick at all. You could get as many boosters as you wanted. You get a 12 boosters if you wanted to. Didn't make you any less likely to get COVID. That could have made the symptoms a little bit less, sure, but it didn't stop you from getting it. 6 feet? That was completely made up, as we then found out years later. How about this notion that you had to wear a mask walking into a restaurant because, you know, of course, being outside would cause you to drop dead from COVID. You needed to wear a mask to walk into a restaurant. You could then sit at a table and then take it off and eat for an hour, 2 hours. And then when you wanted to leave, you sure as hell better put that mask back on because you might die of COVID between your table and 30 feet to the door. That's what went on. All of this was necessary. All of this was promoted by mass media. It all turned out to be complete and total BS. So why is there no trust in media? Because they have decided that it is more important for them to carry water for their political, ideological allies than it is to provide fact and information to the American public, to question what is being said. They don't think any of that's relevant. And I'm not sure that they can recover from this. I'm not sure that media outlets can recover from a 36% distrust, none at all trust in American media. And as all of this has taken place, you've had the rise of various social media outlets. The biggest over the last year or so has been X. Some comments coming in on our Rumble chat this morning about some of the prolific nature of X. They're never going to gain this trust back. It's literally impossible. Because now people can go find the information themselves. Now people can do their own research. Look at both sides of an issue. Say, all right, I'm going to tell you that X is true, and here's the information to look at both. Here you can look at why this is the case, why this might not be the case, and make up your own decision. Media is no longer in the business of doing that. Media seemingly has no incentive to challenge their audience, to challenge their guests, and it has caused them to not only have almost zero trust with the American public, but it's caused their ratings to fall off the side of a cliff because nobody wants to watch that. Nobody wants to sit down in front of the TV or sit in front of a computer and read something from an outlet that has a history of lying to you, a history of making false, inaccurate claims in order to protect their political allies. That's what mainstream media has decided to do, and it's very unfortunate because they're never going to recover from it. And I think it's a bad thing, genuinely. I believe that we are in a bad time in America where there is so much distrust in media. I do not believe it is good for our country to have so much distrust in what they're reading, watching, and listening to. But unfortunately, it was their own decision. The American people didn't change. The media outlets changed. They changed the way in which they felt it was important to, quote unquote, do the news. And the result is they have no viewers and they have no trust. And it's their own damn fault. So that's the latest that we are tracking with everything as it relates to Joe Biden. Not only this cancer diagnosis coming out yesterday, hopefully he is able to get the medical treatment that that he gets as a former vice president to get that done as quickly as possible. And then, of course, this Robert Hurt audio tape, which just proves what you and I knew the entire time, which was Joe Biden's mental health, his mental acuity was no longer what it used to be. Tomorrow morning on the show, we will discuss the United States credit rating with economist Dr. Vance Ginn. He'll join us exclusively here on the Nick Craig Show. I want to thank the law group here in Wilmington for their continued support this morning. Give them a call at 910-251-6088 or visit them online at thelawgroupnc.com. That's going to do it for a Monday edition of the Nick Craig Show. We're back with you tomorrow morning live on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts.